I'm just going to pause for a moment. I feel, and I don't normally do this, and this was not in the plan for my message, but the Lord just was speaking to me in the worship. And I feel like I have a word from the Lord for this group of guys back here. And it's very simple, and it's that the Lord is your shepherd. Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. And in John 10, he said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep by name." I just want to tell you, he knows all of your names. And he says, "I know them by name, and I am known of them." And John 10, this is the verse that I feel led to read. It says, "The thief does not come but to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." So, something that we need to understand from the experience that the shepherds had with God. And we're going to be talking about God encounters. And you know, God knows our name and he knows where we are. And the moments that we experience, when you have a God moment, you need to understand that God is taking a specific time that he is speaking to you, a specific word. And if you will take that word and understand that it's God speaking to you, he will bring it back and remind you and keep using it in your life to remind you who you are and what he says about you and what he has for your life. And so our first point this morning, if you put, I don't know if the screen is working. Is it working? If we put up, okay. The first point is value all the moments. As Christians, we can make the mistake of valuing only certain moments that we have. Like, well, this is a special moment and God can speak to me here because I'm in church. And many times God does speak to us in church, but God also speaks to us while we're at work and while we're driving down the road and while we're in a conversation with a friend and while we're at the movies. And he can speak to us in any moment of our lives. And in fact, often he does speak in those moments that we might consider mundane. The shepherds were out in the field doing their job. It was a regular day for them. They were just watching the sheep. They weren't doing anything that they didn't normally do. And then all of a sudden, they see an angel starts talking to them. Then a multitude, a whole group of angels start talking to them and give them a message. That moment became very valuable in their lives, but it was right smack in the middle of a work day for them, of a work night, actually. And so there's some interesting things that we can learn. A lot of commentaries say that these shepherds were actually watching the sheep that were used in the temple. They were watching the sheep that people used for sacrifices in the temple. And so that was, their job was important, but shepherds were not considered important during that time. They weren't considered the elite. They were just the shepherds. They stayed out in the fields. But Proverbs, most of them were written by Solomon, who had great wisdom because he asked God for it. And in Proverbs 27:23, it says, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." And so that scripture was given as a part of the wisdom that was given in the book of Proverbs. Now, we know that David was a shepherd. David was the father of Solomon, and he was a shepherd. And in this passage, if you read the rest of it, the verse 23, starting through the end of that chapter, he says basically that the sheep will provide for you. And sometimes we can miss how important certain moments are. And I believe that this king in Proverbs, he was saying, be diligent. Don't forget about the flocks. Don't forget about this part of your provision. And so the shepherds were where they were supposed to be. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And while they were there, they had a supernatural encounter. So if we will do what we're supposed to be doing. So what does that look like for Christians? The Bible says in Proverbs 6, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." The word way is course of life and mode of action. In all your actions, in your course of life, and what you say and what you do and where you go and how you spend your money and how you spend your time and what you watch on television. In all of those ways, acknowledge or know God. Seek to know God throughout your moments, throughout your days, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends, throughout that time. Just have your ears open to God. And God will speak. He will direct our paths, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:6. I've never been in the middle of sermon preparation here at the church or at home changing Eden's diaper and had a bunch of angels appear to me. I think that would be cool, but I have not yet experienced that. But I have had God speak to me what I knew was a supernatural thing. In fact, many times, honestly, God will let me know when I'm speaking on the following Sunday, and it's just a moment. And all of a sudden, I just have this thought, and I know I'm going to focus on the shepherds. And then another thought keeps coming, and I should speak on the Matthew 17. And it just kind of comes as a thought. But as you get to know God Almighty, and you begin to listen and learn the voice of the Holy Spirit, you start to recognize, wait, that thought was different than other thoughts. That was a God thought. Because sometimes we have thoughts in there just on myself. Oh, I look really fat today. Or, oh, you know, I really don't like this food that I'm eating, or whatever. Those are not all necessarily God thoughts, you know, but there are, in the midst of that, there are God thoughts. And if we can learn to value the moments and recognize that God will often speak to us in the middle of our day, in the middle of where we are, and we will open ourselves to hearing from him throughout the day, then we can experience a supernatural encounter. And what's amazing, it might only last 3 seconds. And that smack in the middle, you'll have a thought and you'll go, huh. And it's like this revelation happens. Don't discount those things. Don't think, well, that couldn't have been God. Like, seriously, I'm doing my homework right now, or I'm taking a test at school. That can't be God. God will speak to us throughout our daily lives. Okay, number two, fear. If you put up the second slide, fear sometimes accompanies, actually often accompanies, the supernatural moments that we have with God. The shepherds, the Bible says, were greatly afraid. It says, in fact, verse 9 in Luke 2 says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Never had angels, like I said, but I have had God speak to me, go and tell that person that I love them. And all of a sudden, my whole body goes, like, I mean, seriously, I'm a pastor. Why is it that difficult for me to go tell someone that God loves them? But I'm just being honest. All of a sudden, it's like I get a chill. And I get so nervous, and all of a sudden, you know, I mean, because sometimes spiritual moments, when God speaks to me, all of a sudden fear is my ultimate reaction, is my immediate reaction. Whether it's because I am experiencing the presence of God, or because God is asking me to do something that immediately scares me, I think it's honestly just the presence of God. Sometimes we're just kind of taken aback by it. But don't let the moments of fear define your times with God. Don't say, God, please don't ever speak to me again. Like the people in the Old Testament said to Moses, you hear from God. They were scared. They said, you hear from God and you tell us what God is saying. Listen, don't make it so that the pastor has to tell you what God is saying to you. Now, listen, maybe God might give me or Rick or somebody else in the church a word for you. And that's good. I love it when people give me words. Like, it's like, yes, you know, thank you. That's just awesome. But it doesn't often happen. We have to learn to hear from God ourselves. And even when fear accompanies the moment, don't, like I said, let fear determine that, well, I don't ever want God to speak to me and ask me to do that again. Listen, we have all felt that. Like, we have all said, God, could you just maybe use somebody else next time? Like, when God has asked me to be used in one of the gifts, I've heard lots of people that come into a Pentecostal church that have never experienced speaking in tongues, and they go, like, their first time, they're like, what was that? That was weird. I mean, what is that person doing? What are they speaking? Like, that's so weird. And people just kind of, I've watched it from the stage, and people just kind of stand there like a deer in headlights. Like, what is going on? Should I leave? Should I stay here? I don't know what to do right now. I mean, but listen, God encounters are a lot of times like that. God is not us, and his normal is not our normal. So we just have to go, God, that's why I usually explain it to people in scripture. There are lots of things that God has done that scares me. But I'm like, God, if it's you and your word says it's you, then you know what? I mean, I just have to get used to being scared at times. Like, because sometimes The things that scare our flesh are necessary for us to grow and for us to become more like Jesus and for us to excel in Christianity. And so don't let the fear define it. The first thing the angel said to the shepherds was, don't be afraid. God will speak that to us if we'll listen. If we don't let the feelings, because y'all know that feeling that when you get scared, I mean, whether it's like physical fear and the hair on the back of your neck stands up, or like it's like a spiritual thing and all of a sudden you feel like you can't walk, much less speak. Listen, understand, God, if he is asking you to do it, he is at that moment empowering you to do it. Do not let the enemy steal what God has created you to be. It is very easy for me as the non-confrontational, I've said this before, I am very reserved by nature. I would rather not get in people's bubble. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want to cause any drama. Like, I would rather just stay in my lane. Like in high school, I didn't want to be the person that like everybody noticed. Like, just let me blend. I didn't blend because I was 5'10", you know, and taller than like every other girl, you know, in the high school, but that was not my choice. Like, I couldn't rock the heels and like, yeah, go, yeah, this is me. I'm, you know, I'm a 6 foot tall. No, that was not me. I'm like, can I just be petite, like, and blend like everybody else? That's not who I was. But God at times pushes me forward and he's like, go and say this and go and speak. And I'm like, don't you want to use somebody that's more extroverted by nature? Like, don't you want to use the person that wants to be out front, you know, talking to people, you know, and likes to be a street preacher and all that kind of stuff? God uses us where we are. But when he asks us to do something, he empowers us with his Holy Spirit to do it. Peter was outspoken and he denied Jesus in a moment because of his flesh. But then he was empowered by the Holy Spirit and he spoke to a group of people that were looking at the disciples who were speaking in tongues going, these people are drunk. Like, that's what they said. Look it up in Acts 2. It says that they thought that these are drunk. And Peter said, these people are not drunk. This is what's going on. And he preached and 3,000 people got saved. That's what God can do through a life that is submitted to him. So don't let the fear define the circumstance. Even though the experience brought fear at first, the shepherds were giving privileged information. The birth of the Messiah, the one who would save the world, had come and they were told how to find him. So they had the right response. At that moment, they went, found the baby, and then went and told a bunch of people. And that's exactly what they were supposed to do. Sometimes we have a supernatural experience with God so that we can share it with other people. And other people, listen, God is the one who draws people. Jesus is the one who saves them. But sometimes he uses a testimony of ours to spark their thinking and to go, huh, like, you have that experience with God, because I know you and you seem like a regular person to me, and you have that experience with God. And all of a sudden, they're a little more open to spiritual things. So don't be afraid to share the things that God leads you to share. Now, we'll talk about later. Sometimes God gives you an experience and he says, don't share it right now. And there's reasons for that too. So the second group of people that we're going to look at that had a spiritual encounter were the disciples, Peter, James, and John. I love the humanness that we see in the disciples because it's very encouraging. We're going to see two things that happen with the disciples, specifically with Peter. That's just encouraging to me. But Matthew 17, verse 1-9, we're going to read. It says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Just an interesting note, this word transfigured is the same word that's used in Romans 12:2, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. As Christians, we are called to allow God's word, what we hear preached in church, what we read at home, what we hear on the radio, the sermons that we listen to transform our thinking, the renewing of our mind. That word renewing is a renovation word. It means to renovate. It means like if you renovate your house and you knock down the walls and you take out the old and you put in the new. That is Christianity. That is what part of Christianity, that as we submit to the Lord Jesus and we read the word, he changes our thinking. He changes how we view ourselves from what we've been told by people. It changes us from what we can accomplish, how we see ourselves and what we're able to do, into what God says that we can do and what he says that we can accomplish. It changes how we view the church and how we view the world and how we view everything and everyone as we allow it to. It renovates our thinking. And so here, Jesus was, it says, transformed or transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. This passage of scripture, this encounter, is mentioned in three gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to look at things that we read from each account, because you can hear different things from each account. And in one of the other accounts, I believe it's Mark, I didn't write it down, but it says that his clothes became white such that a washer, somebody who was washing or cleaning, could not have made them white. Like, this was not a bleached white. This was a supernatural shining white that happened. His clothes became white as the light. Verse 3, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Not a surprise. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So the two things that we're going to learn from this, number one, if you put up the next slide, value being called apart. It says that Jesus called three disciples. Jesus had 12 disciples, but he didn't call all 12. He called Peter, James, and John to come up to the mountain. So the other disciples didn't get to see and experience this. He separated them from the group for a little while. Don't be afraid to be called away, to called apart with God. Sometimes he calls you apart for prayer. He says, hey, instead of watching TV, how about you come spend time with me? That when you're sitting watching TV and you keep feeling, man, I really need to read my Bible. Get up and read your Bible. Like, listen, God calls us. He doesn't come down and say, Janine, go and read your Bible. Like, it's a thought that keeps coming. He keeps speaking to us. I have woken up in the middle of the night and I like to sleep, but I have woken up and I heard the Holy Spirit say, come away with me. This is the God that we serve. He doesn't only meet with us in church. He is with us in our bedroom when we're sleeping. He is with us when we're at work and at school, as I said. And so we need to listen when he says, come away. Now, I will be the first to admit, I have come away and fallen asleep. I mean, sometimes in the first 3 minutes of my away, and I woke up and said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't pray very much. You know, please forgive me. But the disciples fell asleep also, even in this instant. And that's very encouraging for me. And actually, it says in Luke 9, 28 through 32, now it came to pass after 8 days, okay, that he took Peter, John, James, and John and went on a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, his robe became white. Okay, let's skip down to verse 32 of Luke 9. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. So while this is starting, while this is going on, one preacher that I read said that Jesus had long prayer meetings. I don't know. In Matthew 17, you assume like they went up to the mountain and it happened. But when you read this, it says that actually as he prayed and what happened, they fell asleep. And so I don't know how long they were up on the mountain. I have come many times and I have lain before the Lord in prayer and I wake up like, oh, you know, I don't know how long I was sleeping. Peter and those were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. Being called apart is a privilege. Sometimes it means being called apart from what's okay for others to watch. And you might go, God, every other Christian at church watches this show or does this. Why, how come you're picking on me? Sometimes it feels like that God is like, what other people can get away with, you can't get away with. There's an old track that my dad used to have, and it said, others may, you cannot. And it went through a whole thing as to why what some Christians can do, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you and say, don't do that. Don't watch that. Don't go there. You know, don't experience that, whatever. God calls us away because he knows what we need. And he knows where, you know, he calls us apart. I listened to a message by Jimmy Evans yesterday, and he said, when God wants to do a big thing, he has to dig it deep. When you build a skyscraper, they don't just build it on top of the earth, on top of the ground. They go down deep and they put the steel down deep. And sometimes those moments when God is saying, come away with me, or instead of going out tonight, come and spend some time with me, or instead of watching that television show that you feel like watching, come and spend time with me. God is working that work in us, and he's teaching us and changing us. So they fell asleep. Okay. Number two, this is the last point. Value the moment. Will you put that last slide up? Value the moment by listening. In verse 33 of Luke's account, Luke 9, verse 33, it says, then as it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. He didn't even know what he was saying. The scripture says he was just responding. In Mark 9:6, it says, because he wasn't sure what to say because they were in great fear. So because this is happening, Peter is scared. He just starts talking and he just starts making suggestions. Hey, Lord, it's a good thing that we're here. Like, there must be the reason that we're here, maybe so that we can build you each a tabernacle. He was afraid. Often when we're nervous, we start talking. Like, okay, I need to fill this silence. I need to do something. I need to handle this situation. I know when I get hyper, anyone who is in the membership class on the third week, they will tell you, when I get hyper, I just talk incessantly. Like, I mean, I just keep, like, you can't get a word in edgewise, but it's good. I mean, I can get across everything I need to say, like, in the 5 minutes, you know, because I've learned that about myself. And I've learned when I feel that, I need to take a deep breath, maybe count backwards from 10 to 1, you know, but I've learned that about myself. When we get in the presence of God and we get nervous, the best thing that we can do is be still and listen. In the presence of Almighty God, let him speak. Look in Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. I used to be surprised, because, you know, we sing these songs sometimes in worship, and they are so, like, all in. Like, I give you everything, and honestly, as a teenager, as a young adult, I would hear this song and go, God, I would like to be able to say that honestly, but I'm not sure that I can. So God, help me to give it all. Help me to be willing to lay my life down before you. So when you come into the presence of God, be honest with God, but be still and be quiet. Don't just be rash. Yeah, God, you know, and make promises that you're not going to keep. Be honest with God, but also be still, be reverent, be quiet sometimes. This continues. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Phillips, Craig, and Dean sang a song with this title, Let My Words Be Few. And it says, you are God in heaven, and here am I on earth, so I'll let my words be few. And then it says, and I'll stand in awe of you. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Being in the presence of God, we can just stand in awe. We don't have to fill the silence with words. Now, if God leads you to pray, then pray. If he leads you to repent, then repent. But don't feel the need to fill the silence. Sometimes we feel in church to just be still and be quiet. And I'm telling you, it is hard sometimes. As a leader, and I feel like, what are people thinking? And I have to fight, like, is this weird? Are people going to start, you know, what's going to happen? Ultimately, if God says to be still, his word says, be still and know that I am God. Why would we be afraid to do that in his house? So when he says, be still to you, don't be afraid to be still. Just the same as it is nice sometimes for me just to sit back with Rick and just be with him. We can do that with God. We can just sit with God and say, God, I am just here to be with you. I just want to focus on how awesome you are. And so don't be afraid to let your words be true. I have had to learn, even when I'm talking to my mom, sometimes when I get excited and I just want to share everything that I've learned, and I find myself talking more and listening less. And sometimes I have to take a step back and I think, I want to hear what she has to say instead of filling the time with me talking. Like, she'll let me vent and she'll let me talk, and it's wonderful. But I have learned, I want to hear from all this wisdom that she has. And so why would we not do the same with God? Like, say, God, what do you have to say? And so silence is a good thing sometimes. One more important thing. Matthew 17:9 says, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. It's interesting because in Mark's account, in Mark 9:10, it says they wondered what rising from the dead meant. They didn't understand it at that point. They didn't know. Jesus kept trying to tell them that he was going to be killed and then he would rise from the dead. And they didn't understand it because I think they could not comprehend. They couldn't grasp the idea that Jesus was really going to die and that they were really going to crucify him until it happened. And then they were still in shock, but they understood it afterwards. And sometimes God tells us not to share things because he knows we don't get it ourselves. Often the things that God teaches us, the revelations that come, are in layers. So when God tells you something and you're like, yeah, I really don't understand that at all, God. Like, I get that you're teaching me and I'm excited about what you're telling me, but I don't understand it. And if anybody asks me to explain it, I can't explain it. That's okay. Sometimes God teaches us and it's just like he's laid one foundation, and then in time he will lay layers until he reveals it to us. And then sometimes at that time he will say, now go and share it. So until that time, if he says, this is for me and you, then just keep it between you and him, because he wants to reveal those things to us. At the end of the day, our goal needs to be just to be with the Lord throughout our day. Value the moments throughout the day. Submit yourself to him. When we're doing our work like shepherds, when we're called apart to spend time with God like the disciples, when we're doing whatever we're doing, don't be too busy to come away when he calls you away to pray, because life is too short to be caught busy doing the wrong things. Jesus said the night is coming when no man can work. I don't want to spend my time doing the wrong things and being busy doing the wrong things. We need to take the moments he's giving us and do his will. And so it starts with surrender to him as Lord, which means supreme ruler. I come to you, God, and I offer you my life as ruler of my life, and I will choose to live by what your word says. But as God begins to reveal our need for him, that's his part. And then our part is to cooperate with what he is doing in our lives and say, God, I don't know everything. There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand, but I know that you're calling me. And I know that you're telling me that you have something for me, and that this, what you're saying, is for me. And we come with the little bit of understanding or knowledge or revelation that we have, and God adds to it as we walk with him. And so I just challenge you today, as this song plays, if you need prayer, we would be glad to pray with you. If, you know, we will pray with you for healing or for wisdom or for a situation. It's biblical that we would bear one another's burdens, that we would pray about the things with each other. But I want to challenge you, if you have never really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And God draws us and calls us, and we can say no. We can hold our hand out and keep God out of our lives, and we can miss it. And the sad thing is sometimes we walk out, we get busy with life, we start focusing on other things, you know, and our head gets all wrapped up in other things. So I would challenge you, when God begins to deal with you about salvation, about change in your life, about surrender in an area, Do it then. Say, God, I will, with your help, as you help me, I will allow you to change me. I surrender to you. And then when you leave this place, recognize that he is going to start dealing with you about change. Things that were okay for you before, you're going to start feeling differently about. And then we submit and allow him to bring those changes. He does the work in us. But as we surrender to him,